Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Stirring It Up. And thank you so much for being here with us at the kitchen table today. I know it's a busy day for everybody. And to take the time to be with us makes us really happy. And we hope we make you happy as well, because we're talking everybody's favorite subject in Louisiana, food, or things to cook food on, or places to cook food. Well, it's a food show, right? Nice food show. Michelle York, our executive producer. How are you doing over there, Michelle?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Recuperated,
and you?
Recuperated from your big vacation here recently? Recuperated, huh? Well, you look very...
I missed a day of work.
Yeah, well...
and I'm feeling fine.
Well, good. And right across from Michelle, of course, our historian and archivist, Shirley Sands. How are you, Shirley?
I'm great, thanks.
Everything going well in your life, huh?
Everything's going pretty well.
Any new books coming in that I should know about, huh, in the library?
Oh, gosh, we have lots of fabulous books. Some
Shirley always
ones
says,
on vegetables.
Shirley always says lots of fabulous books. That's because you don't want me rooting at them until they
catalog. That's right, until I see them first. Or they just appear into this big hole called his office.
Come on.
Never to be seen again.
I know it.
Across the glass wall, y'all, our engineer, David McLaughlin. How you doing, David?
Doing great.
I'm doing good. Good music for me today.
Excellent music.
How's the baby?
Baby's great.
Baby's good?
He's applying to Harvard next week.
Is that right?
That's right. You got to get in early. The list is kind of long.
I can imagine.
He's what, 6 months old about now?
Oh, 4 months.
Yeah, four months. He's already on the Harvard list.
Why waste any time?
Anyway, y'all, again, thank you so much for being here with us today. You know, But Shirley, before I go any further, remember a couple of weeks ago we did the, maybe it was last week, I'm not sure, a couple of weeks ago, we did the show on Epicurean societies.
Right.
We talked about all of the great, the Chenda Rotisseurs. We talked about the Bordeaux societies, the wine societies. And in that show, we did a fish recipe, one of my favorite fish recipes. In fact, we did a pompano or papillote.
That's right.
Which is a classic French dish brought to Louisiana and then some way inherited and now owned by the Creoles and the fine chefs in New Orleans. But anyway, in that comment, we were talking a little bit about that fish being related to the flounder and the sole. But then later, we have great listeners, and I had a wonderful friend of mine, you know Dr. James.
Dr. James Cohen, right.
Cohen over at LSU. He's an avid listener of our show, and he sent me an email after. He said, John, I heard y'all talking about the pompano. He said, the pompano is related to the Jack family, the amberjack. Now, I'm thinking to myself, oh, how could that – I would never put those two fish in the same. And here we have our resident fish expert who's sitting out there listening to the show. And I wanted to thank Dr. Cohen for sending me that little in. And I even
told him,
I said, I need you on the show.
We
do fish. Seriously, I mean, it's great to have Louisiana listeners who are experts at all of this stuff.
Right.
And I wanted to thank him publicly. And to let all of our listeners know that the pompano is related to the amberjack and the Jack family. So thank you, Dr. James, for listening, and to rest of you for that. We're thrilled to have people with that great knowledge. You know, Michelle, with all this warm and wet weather, it's hard to...
Hot,
very steamy, humid. It's hard to put that into context and surround it with the thought of... football season starting up, you know. Why is it when I was young I thought of going to a football stadium and I was always freezing?
My mind that's the way I picture it too, but I think I've been to one cold football game, maybe in my life.
And that's the one we remember. Anyway, in spite of the great heat that we're having here, y'all, as I drive around the region, you know, you can't miss that there is a little change in the season. You can tell it just by the fact that people are in more of that back to school mode right now. And when you do get into the back of school mode, we're not going to have the brilliant autumn changes of color that you're going to find in the Northeast or in the North in general. You're going to find brilliant colors.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We have our own.
That's right. We have our changing
fall foliage.
Yeah, we have our fall foliage. Purple, gold, black and gold in New Orleans, crimson, and all the colors associated with great football teams here in South
Carolina.
The Fighting Wildcats of St. James, where I made an impression on all of humanity.
Yeah,
back
right.
in
the,
sure you did.
Back, well, yeah, back in the 60s, you better believe it. 10-yard falls, they used to call me. Huh?
I'm sure you sent some teachers into retirement early.
And in Baton Rouge, y'all, cars are adorned already. I'm seeing the flags in the back windows already. We're talking about all of the different flags of the teams, and I saw a car the other day that actually had three flags flying in each one of the back windows representing three different teams. Now, that's a bit excessive. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just pick one you love the most, or your kids are going to go to school, or you graduated from? That's enough.
That's
three will cause a wreck.
That's a diverse family. They have too many alumni.
Excuse me. That's exactly what it is. Seriously, though, in Baton Rouge, I have seen the purple and gold flags of LSU. I've seen the purple and gold of the Southern Jaguars. Everyone has their own purple and gold shirts on. What?
Not
Southern
Jaguars.
Blue and gold.
Thank you.
Blue and gold. I'm sorry. How did I say purple and gold?
I don't know.
Well, you know I know. Everybody knows I know the color. I'm tailgated out at Southern. I know the colors. Talk about good cooks.
Oh, I'd love to tailgate at Southern.
Even beer cans in the stores now. Can you imagine beer cans have purple and gold colors on them? Absolutely. Football and food, y'all, are Louisiana's two top contact sports. And they come beautifully together this time of year in a tradition that we call tailgating. No doubt about that. South Louisiana is going to be rocking next weekend as the Raging Cajuns tailgate at home or in Athens before the big game with Georgia. Delicious smells of wonderful pork sausages and wings slathered with sauces will permeate the Citrus Bowl as Southern represents the SWAC against the Middle Eastern Conference representative, Delaware State. Mm-hmm. Any games you going to, Michelle?
Well, I don't know. You know, while I'm very excited about football, like you were saying, I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Well, you'll get there.
I'm a fan.
I know.
I'm not one of these.
You're not a fanatic, but you're
I'm not a fan.
Well, LSU opens next week playing North Carolina at the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, and it wouldn't surprise me if once again we're going to have all of these seismographs measuring Richter scales as the first game of the season opens up. It's always that way. But you know, for me, Michelle, it's all about the cooking. Mm-hmm. It's all about the cooking. I think it's safe to say that that most universities will declare their stadiums as the birth of tailgating. We know better than that.
Certainly, it was LSU, right?
No, it wasn't. It was Harvard University. Mm-hmm. Harvard University, where his kids gone.
That's why David wants him to go to Harvard.
They've been playing football, though, since 1860 at Harvard, and they've had parties just that long. But recently, Princeton University challenged that claim. They say they began the tailgating tradition when their team played Rutgers back in 1869. So now there's a feud going on between Princeton mm-hmm. and Harvard, now that there wasn't one going on before. I don't think they were fighting about academics. They're fighting about,
Did they have a tailgate?
No, because everybody had buggers in those days. You got to remember the tailgate wasn't invented until, about 1909 or 19 mm-hmm. or something? But they were tailgating anyway on buggers and bunk boards, I guess.
Wagons or something.
Here enters LSU.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think we could dispute it.
We could, because I think wasn't Henry Ford from here?
I think he was. Didn't he go to LSU?
Yeah, I think they had a Ford plant. Anyway, the Tigers of Princeton say that while Harvard may have had a party, they tailgated first. Mm-hmm. Now that's a point.
Mm-hmm. That's a wagon gated.
They wagon gated. Although in 1860s, I always say, and I told you this before, there were no real tailgates other than the fact that. That they probably did sit on wagons. People went out, and just like the Côte de Bois mm-hmm. Côte de Mardi Gras that we do here in Eunice and all that, the wagons and the horses, and there's beer and wine and food on them. So that's mm-hmm. that's theoretically a tailgate, right? Hmm? Mm-hmm. You're looking at me like I shouldn't be talking about Mardi Gras.
Well, I'm just I'm building the case.
Oh, I see. Well, although in 1860, y'all, I have to say again, people were feuding already about where tailgating was born. Already there was fights before the Civil War and the first shot of Sumter. They were talking about tailgating. The first party held here in Louisiana, 1893, when LSU played Tulane in Sportsman's Ballpark in New Orleans. LSU lost that game, Michelle, 34-0. 15,000 people went, paid 50 cents to get into the stadium. They brought their blankets, cast iron pots, and absolutely they fired up a pig roast that day as well. We have documentation. We don't have documentation.
I'm sure we do. I haven't seen it, Shirley.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay, there
okay,
it is.
All right. Okay, if so, Shirley says okay, I'm
so in other words, you're disputing the... anyway, y'all, Princeton might have had the first tailgating party 25 years earlier, but I can guarantee you that the food in New Orleans that day at Sportsman's Ballpark would have taken them hands down. And y'all, I think that even though those who are not big football fans can get caught up in the thrill of a winning season like they did last year, it's all about the food here in the South, no doubt about it. All of the great wars and disputes and discussions about tailgating all revolve around the gumbos, the sauce pecans, the Cajun microwaves, the roasting of the pigs, the cooking in the black iron pots, our favorite foods, our alma maters, all of the great things that happen when 92,500 people come together in a stadium and say, huh, you talking to me? You looking at my jambalaya? Huh? Yeah. Anyway, y'all, that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about food and tailgating, how the traditions began, what is it about the socializing, and where are the best cooks?
Too fast. Microwave oven loving, we ran out of gas. Microwave oven loving, hot in a hurry, done too fast. Microwave oven loving, we ran out of gas. We never spent much time in the kitchen, we never spent much time in the crowd. We pushed each other's buttons, till the gas we just burned out. Microwave oven loving, hot in a hurry, done too fast. Microwave oven loving, we ran out of gas. Turn the heat down, instead we made sparks fly. We're soup to nuts, the night we touched, didn't waste no time. Microwave oven loving, hot in a hurry, done too fast. Microwave oven loving.
Hi everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, and coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we're going to New Orleans, Louisiana, to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival to spend the entire show with the one and only Neville Brothers. That, plus our feature host William Lee Ellis, will continue his look at religion and the blues. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Your host, Megan Brown, for Encore. Join me as we journey through the continuing timeline of our culture. We'll discover the music, relive festivals, and get to know the people. Sunday afternoons at 3 here on KRVS.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, now broadcasting in HD radio technology.
Since you left, I ain't been eating. My friends say I'm pale and drawn. My favorite shirt just hangs on me like that shirt I'm hanging on. Oh, I know our love was over. There was nothing left to say. I'm getting over you, but I still miss your microwave. I ain't got
right, everybody. Welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. And, of course, you can tell from the music we're talking about microwaves and not the ones you plug in. The ones you plug in, too.
That's right.
Anyway, we're talking about tailgating and, of course, the foods associated with it and the rivalries out there, y'all, that just send everybody over the top. Think of Army, Navy, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, Oklahoma, the big weekend they have with the Texas State Fair, ULL in McNeese, Southern University in Grambling, and, of course, LSU against Nick Saban.
Bama.
Has nothing to do with Alabama. Absolutely
not anymore.
Nothing. It's all about LSU's 11 versus Saban. And it's going to happen again this year, whether we like it or not. Huh? Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome back, y'all. It's so nice to have you around the kitchen table. As I said, we're talking about the foods that nourish the body of those who cheer for their favorite team. And we have some very special guests. We're also going to do a recipe today. And, of course, Michelle has a great reading. So introduce our great guests here. And they came bearing gifts.
They did. And they are a father-son team.
Which I absolutely love.
Absolutely. We have Alvin and Robert Morrow
CrawfishGuy.com.
CrawfishGuy.com. Now, Alvin lives in Marksville, Louisiana, Robert, New Orleans, but together they share their love, like you, with you, and their passion for the amazing roasting box we lovingly call the Cajun Microwave.
And I would say lovingly is the right word.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Cajun microwave.
So, Alvin and Rob, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us on Stirring It Up.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Now, I knew that I had run into you before, Alvin, when I walked into the room. And and he's from Marksville. He's got a great Marksville face. I guess both of you from Marksville originally,
right,
huh?
Right. Well, Dad's originally from New Orleans, yeah, but he met Mom over here in Marksville.
Well, you see, she turned him totally into Marksville.
Oh, yeah.
Alvin, great to see you, and Rob, nice to have you.
We'll have
there.
To tell Thanks. You about the time they met. That's a really good story.
Well, let me just begin by echoing Michelle and Shirley's appreciation for y'all coming in. And as Louisianians, we are absolutely wild about our food and tailgating and all the things. And, of course, the Cajun microwave, without a doubt, is one of the great cooking instruments singing at most stadiums around Louisiana anyway. And I know that it's getting out more and more. Why don't you describe for us, because there's a lot of our listeners driving down I-10, I-12, they're listening to us on the internet, and they're saying, Cajun microwave, what is he talking about? So let's first of all define it.
The Cajun microwave is really an outdoor cypress roasting box in its simplest terms. It's a roasting box. It's made out of some nice select grade thick cypress wood, and what you do is put large pieces of meat in it. Of course, our most famous large piece of meat is a butterflied open roast pig, the cochon de lait, the young suckling pig. So in this box, you'll put a 30 to 100-pound pig, butterflied open, seasoned. You can add a couple of turkeys in there if you want, some sweet potatoes. And the lid that is on top of the cypress microwave, Cajun microwave, is a metal lid. So this is a thick 16-gauge steel, and the heat actually is from the top. So on top of this lid, you put your charcoal, or you can put wood. A lot of people just cut down, pieces of wood and trees and things, and you heat from the top down, and it's about a six-hour process that cooks anywhere between 225 and 275 degrees. We like to keep it right around 250 for about 6 hours.
Now, Alvin, so basically then the heat is radiant heat coming off of the iron on the top, basically broiling the meat inside. So what about the flavor? The flavor of the meat comes from?
It comes from the seasoning, and there's no smoke flavor because smoke can't get down into the box. It's basically a wooden oven. And you have to turn the meat occasionally to where it browns good on each side.
Now, when our listeners hear wooden box and fire, I know what they're thinking. They said, now, whoa, back up a little bit, because I know what he said. There's a metal top sitting on top of a wooden box. You put a 100-pound pig inside, or turkeys, or sweet potatoes, or sausages, or chicken, or whatever, a pork roast, and you fire it up with a... in this particular case, how much charcoal, if I was going to put charcoal for a 100-pound pig, how much charcoal would be on the lid of this box?
About 20 pounds at a time. Okay, 15 to 20 pounds at a time, a couple of layers deep.
A couple of layers deep. Yeah. So what's protecting the wood from catching on fire with the coals?
Well, the way that it's built is the metal pan goes around the edges. Okay, and on the inside, the way it's made, the wood's a little bit further away from the actual pit of the metal that has all the heat.
So, so there's a protection element there. Space. Yeah, just space.
It's just space.
Air, which is one of the great insulators there. Yeah. Now, what is okay, we have a pig. How are you seasoning it, Ron?
Well, the way that we have traditionally seasoned it is just with garlic, stuffing the entire pig with pieces of garlic, maybe 50 or 60 pieces. Dad can comment on that. And then coating it in like salt, pepper, red pepper, garlic salt, celery salt, things like that. Now, depending on where you buy your pigs from, they do seasonings. Like there's a place in Tangipahoa Parish that I get my pigs at Tangy Meats, and they have a seasoning option. For an extra $25 or whatever it is, they'll soak it overnight, marinate it in a red pepper, salt, garlic kind of seasoning that gives it a little bit of a spicy flavor. Some people like that. Some people don't. The traditional way, of course, you know all about pork and garlic, is stuffing it with garlic and then putting your different peppers and salts on top. And that's how Dad likes to do it.
Niall, and also a lot of people subscribe to the injection method as well, where they inject the meat with a lot of the Cajun-type injections or seasonings. Do you find that to be popular?
It is with some folks that that like the pepper.
Right.
You know, the seasoning all the way through the meat. Personally, I don't use that method, but stuffing it with garlic on both sides, the skin side and the bone side, and seasoning it up good with garlic powder, onion powder.
Just putting that salt. Really good rub. Now, do you recommend seasoning it the day before, or can you season it right before it goes into the pot? Have you seen any difference?
I usually do it the night before.
And so it probably so it
starts keep it in an ice chest with a little ice to keep the meat cool and
Ryan?
Give it a chance to go through the meat.
Right.
You know, several months ago, we casually mentioned on the show Cajun Microwave, and we have a friend of ours who lives in Canada, prints our books, Doug Symington, and he was so intrigued with the Cajun microwave that he's coming down for Thanksgiving just so that he can experience a Cajun microwave and eat in it. But he and his wife cook every weekend. Fascinated, what would you recommend putting in a Cajun microwave? What all can you cook other than the pig?
Well, a whole pig is the most sensible thing to cook in this big box. Now, we do make different sizes of the box. This is the big one that we have here, 4x2. We also have a 3x2 and a very small 2x2 that's great for turkeys, briskets, whole chickens, you know, sausages, rump roasts, all those sorts of things. So depending on the number of people that you have and the size of the box that you have, that's going to kind of determine what sorts of meats you want to put in there. But you can also put your vegetables. I told you I like to do wood ducks. I'm a wood duck hunter, so every year I do some wood ducks. And then on top of the Cajun microwave, get you a couple of bricks and an old grill out of the garage somewhere and do all of your hot dogs and hamburgers and your garlic bread on top of the grill. So you got the pig or the other big meats inside, and you got your other small children stuff on top.
Well, I think it was interesting. You said, you know, I never thought about doing sweet potatoes in at the same. It makes perfect sense.
Takes a couple hours.
It's That's an awesome. Oven. You can use it as an oven. Whatever you cook in your oven, you can do. And Boston butts are very popular in a Cajun microwave.
Oh, I would think so. Well, this sounds like the ideal instrument for tailgating. And it sounds like from what you're talking about, you can actually do two meals at the same time. You can put for late in the day. You can put your roasts and things in, and then on the top, do the immediate cooking.
Right, the quick.
So you can really cook all day at one time.
And we've sold a lot of our Cajun microwaves to people for tailgating. And in fact, every now and then we'll get a call and someone says, yeah, I was tailgating the other day and I saw somebody cooking a pig in one of your boxes because we got our brand on there, crawfishguy.com. And so I want to get one. And that's how they see it. And they go to our website.
Now, why? What other than, because when I think of Cajun microwave, certainly I don't only think of tailgating. It is an annual piece of cooking equipment. You use it all year long. And it's unlike the barbecue pit that you have to sit and manage the meat. With the Cajun microwave, it's more about managing the heat, managing the fire rather than the pit itself. Why would people buy a Cajun microwave at home? Why would they use it in, let's say, in place of or in addition to a grill? What's the enticement?
Well, I'm going to tell you there's a couple of great reasons. Number one, it is an awesome conversational piece. I mean, there's nothing like sitting around. You've been to pig roast before. You sit around, you watch this pig turn in front of the fire.
Hold on, Rob. I love the way you say that. Now, I have a listener in a car that's passing right on I-10 who's from Iowa. And, Iowa's not a good state to say pig.
Right.
They have a lot of pigs. But let's say Southern California. You say, well, you've done a pig roast before. No, go ahead.
You know, you're sitting around, you're watching this pig turn in front of a fire, or you're looking at this big cypress box with all the grease dripping out of one end, sitting around drinking beers, talking about cooking, talking about Louisiana culture. It really is a conversation piece. And secondly, for big gatherings, I can't think of anything else that you would want to use. Instead of heating, we're talking about how hot it is outside right now. Instead of heating up your house, cooking all this stuff in your house, you got this big box outside that's doing all the cooking for you. Outside, you're not heating your house up. You can put 100 pounds of meat in it, all kinds of vegetables. You got stuff on top. Everybody's standing around it, you know, playing volleyball, looking at it. You know, it's just a great way to cook outdoors.
Oh, it is a social event center around food and to center around a wooden box. Have you thought about doing that? Because the box is sealed. It's almost like a coffin type box. Have you thought about any alternatives to put windows in it or whatever for people to actually watch the cooking? Or is it something that you stayed away from?
You know, that's a great question. And when we first started looking at this, Dad and I, and putting them on our website and marketing them, because, you know, we're from the Marksville region, and that's kind of our cultural way to bring out the culture and everyone. We talked about all sorts of different things. We talked about glass windows. We talked about subdividing the box, so if you wanted to cook a small piece of meat sometime, you could do that. We talked about a one-man operation where you'd have some kind of hinge and it moves over. Talked about all those things, and when it comes down to it, the beauty of this box is just how simple it is. And we really didn't want to mess with the simplistic effort and the way that you can do them. And we're trying to keep the price down, too. So the way that it's built now, it's real simple. And the other thing that you can do is just kind of raise the lid periodically. And that's a big event in itself. You gather everybody around. Hey, let's check on the pig. So you raise the lid and you take a peek under there and you see how it's going. And that's a big deal.
I think what you just mentioned is probably the greatest. Number one, it is about simplicity. Because when the Cajuns, the Creoles, even the Spanish who used a lot of these, the Cuban-type boxes that we use like this, and probably some of the source of our own Cajun microwaves may have been the Spanish coming to Louisiana. It's about simplicity. And if you want to buy the Cadillac or the Mercedes-Benz of Cajun microwave, there's certainly companies out there that do them. If you want a box that is authentic to the region, simply done, affordable for most families, what you're saying is the simpler, the easier to use, the better. And after all, at the end of the day, it's only about cooking the meat well and maintaining the heat. What about maintenance of internal maintenance of the box? Because I know it's wood and there's oil. What about the sanitation factor and all of that?
Well, what we suggest is that under the grill, which is in the bottom of the inside of the box, to put some tinfoil in there.
Right.
And not to let it come up the side, just to go in the very bottom and under the grill and punch holes through it to match up with the drains. And after we cook, we take the grill out, you know, we clean the grill real well, maybe spray a little Pam or something on there to keep it from rusting. Leave the foil in there for a day or two, when the grease fuses in there and hardens up.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
We just fold the tin foil up and get rid of it. The box is still nice and clean.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Now, how do you have to stand by it the whole time? I mean, if I put something in the Cajun microwave, could I walk off? Could I go to church and come back? Or how much maintenance does it need for me?
Those that stand by it only stand by it because we want to, because we're just sitting there, we're watching the pig, you know, we're drinking our beer, we're doing all those things. But you can theoretically, I'll cook pigs for people in the neighborhood. I live uptown New Orleans, and I'll just go and do some cooking, you know, get it all set up, leave for a few hours, come back, you know, 3 hours later. The only thing that you have to be careful of with the cooking process is you want to make sure you keep good heat on it. Because if you don't, you're going to have a pig that's going to be undercooked after 10 hours if you're not keeping good heat. And you want to manage your ash. You don't want the ash to build up to where it'll sort of insulate the cooking
part. Right. That's and again, I mean, the simple addition of a thermometer, one of the digitals that can go into the ham of a pig or into the butt roast or whatever, just so you can kind of watch the temperature of that meat even without a – is a simple addition, an inexpensive addition that you can even do at home once you buy the microwave. Now, of course, I noticed on the one that you brought here today, there is a thermometer that kind of measures the internal cavity
just
temperature.
Just the ambient temperature inside.
Anyway, y'all, so we're going to take a quick little break. We're talking about one of our favorite subjects, I guess, the equipment used that's unique to Louisiana cuisine and that makes the social aspect of cooking so important, not only at tailgating, because one of the things about Louisianians, we do cook. You may not have noticed this. Five meals a day, seven days a week, 12 months a year. And we just kind of tailor it to the season. We're in football season now,
that's
so
right.
We're going to be talking about painting our microwaves the colors of our team. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the wooden box, y'all. It's about the heat source on the top. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about a recipe in a minute and continue to talk about, tell you where you can get one of these as well. So don't you dare go anywhere. You're going to give me a little story, right, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Right,
yes,
buddy.
I'm just meant to stir fry. Brown rice and tofu. Yeah, they're just swell. I eat them all of the time.
Well, that's a lie. Or a fib.
I can never tell. It's such a very thin line. Well, I've cleaned up my act and I've hung up my coat. I recycle everything and hell yes, I vote. But I just can't find that microwave life. And time is speeding on by.
I'm Jake Hebert.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM KRVS.
Looking for a youthful perspective on classical music?
Well, I'm going to play the Liszt Transcendental Etude No. 7. It's very exciting and energetic, and there's hard-hitting parts and soft parts, and overall, it's a pretty good piece.
Look no further than From the Top. Join me, Christopher O'Reilly, for our 10th anniversary season, each week right here on NPR.
Tuesday night at 7 on KRVS.
Soy Fernando Pérez Villar. Únanse a mi programa Espacio Latino este domingo a las 5 p.m. para que escuche buena música latina e información sobre la cultura latina aquí en el sur de Louisiana.
That's Espacio Latino, coming up this Sunday evening at 5 here on KRVS.
Regional Public Radio for Acadiana. KRVS-FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Now I like to preheat my oven and keep that dial set on low.
doggone microwave woman. She don't cook nothing slow, nothing slow. Look at here, look at here. I'm a slow and careful shopper. Only organic will do. I'm a very careful chopper. I like bite-sized pieces in my stew. And I like to slowly simmer for at least an hour or two. But that microwave woman in 30 seconds...
Boy, I tell you what, we beating up that microwave woman today. Welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. And we're so happy to have with us today Robin Alvin Morrow. And, of course, talking about their wonderful, I'm going to call it the miracle box of cooking here, this wonderful Cajun microwave. I wish everybody could see the beautiful, do we have any pictures? I guess we have pictures on our website. We need to shoot some of those. And but I know you have pictures of it on your website.
Absolutely.
Why don't you give us your website right away again? And that way everybody can write it down.
It's very easy to remember. It's crawfishguy.com.
One word, crawfishguy.com. What can be easier than that, huh?
And that started off, by the way, when I went up to school in University of Wisconsin-Madison to get my doctorate in environmental studies. I had Dad and a cousin of mine, Stuart Says, that we started off this thing with, that would ship crawfish up to Wisconsin and all over the Midwest. And I tried to develop a boiled crawfish market. I used to boil crawfish up there all the time. That was a way to help subsidize grad school. And so I kept the website name. We're not doing this. We are doing the shipping again. We just reinstituted the seafood shipping.
You know, one of the things I just very quickly, because we want to jump in, and we'll give more information in a minute, but you do ship, and it's interesting to know that you have about three different models or so of the microwave, from the small, as you mentioned, to the large, which you have here. And the most expensive one is $499. I mean, so $499, which is great, I think, because normally when you think of them, they're pretty high price. And, of course, you ship all over the country as well. The instructions are very simple to use. So we'll tell everybody again, crawfishguide.com, you know, how to get it. You can go to the website right now if you have your computer in front of you, and you'll know exactly what it looks like. You can get all of the information on our website, right, Shirley?
Yes.
I load that all up.
Yes.
jfalls.com. If you go to jfalls.com, click on radio show, and you're going to find it all right there. And also, Michelle, on our Facebook page.
That's right. Facebook.com/stirringitupradio.
And guess, Michelle, who
Stirring.
Called? Stirring It Up.
Stirring, no G.
And Michelle, guess who wrote to us this week?
Who?
Our friends in England.
No way.
Absolutely. David, did you see that?
When are they coming for a visit?
Well, I'm threatening to have them as a guest on the show. We're going to put them on the spot.
Maybe we want to take the show to England.
Hey.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
I think that's a better idea.
Great idea.
So what did they have to say?
It's Bert and Andrea.
Right.
And they are from...
They're next to the Isle of Man. I always
right.
like to say that. I like to say Isle of Man.
Isle
I don't
Man.
Know why I like to say that. But
it
I
just
think.
Sounds so, yeah. I don't know.
So what would they have to
Manly?
Say on Facebook?
Posh.
We encourage everybody to write. If they can write, if Bert and Andrea can write from England, we ought to be able to get a lot of people giving us some comments.
We ought to be able to get something from Denham Springs. Let's see. Andrea and I have just come back from a weekend under canvas at the Cambridge Folk Festival. We've just heard the podcast. What a thrill to get a mention. We'd be proud to represent you and the team here in the north of England.
Because, Michelle, remember, we asked them to be our Stovehound chairman.
That's right.
For
that's right. And they've accepted.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Stovehound. That's our
fan. Did we tell them it wasn't a paid position?
No, it's not a paid position. Plus, they're going to be the first representatives.
Yeah.
We don't really have any governance out there
in England.
They're
that's
the
right.
first ones. But it's good to start off in England. That way
that's
you can
right.
come this way. That's how it all started anyway, England coming this way.
And it's good local PR for the north of England.
Pretty good, eh?
You started tweeting this week.
Well, I had to. I got asked to be this major speaker at...
It's the International Food Bloggers Conference.
I'm asked to be a keynote speaker, 200 people, I guess, in my seminar, and I can't spell tweet. Facebook, I thought it was a mirror. You know,
well,
I mean, but I'm in it now. Let me tell you, I am in it now.
So I can look you up. I can
absolutely. You can look me up right now.
I can follow you on Twitter.
That's right. I loaded up my Swamp Critter.
You know about hashtags, and you know.
I know all about hashtags. You put the little hash mark in the front of, and you go there, and it tells you everything about everything in that particular subject. Right.
He knows just enough to be dangerous.
Pretty good, eh?
Isn't that neat?
You can tell he'd been there, huh?
That's
you
right.
You can tell he'd been. Win, lose, or draw, there's no experience quite like it. And everybody says the same thing. There's just something about the rabid fans of Tiger Stadium that sets it apart from stadiums all over the world.
Even Bear Bryant, who actually had a great winning record against LSU, talked about hating to come to Death Valley.
Yeah. You know,
it's the worst place to play.
A friend of ours who is an alumni of Auburn, her entire family, and she said when she lived here, she said, you know, we used to go to the LSU games, but then, of course, when Auburn came, we'd have to sit on the Auburn side. That was very, very intimidating.
Shirley, what about any books on tailgating? Anything you have with us here?
No, I don't really have any books of any kind. There's some great websites that have some really funny stories about tailgating from all over the country, and some of the alliances that develop between some teams against other teams and people against other people. But
well, if you're interested in any good reading, then I would recommend crawfishguide.com.
That's right.
Now, go to crawfishguide.com read about the Cajun microwave. In fact, Alvin told me during the break that if you can't quite picture what the Cajun microwave looks like, just think of the Ark of the Covenant. I hope
that's pretty good. It resembles it.
I hope y'all don't mind. Would y'all allow me to give your recipe on the air right now for Cochon de Lune?
Absolutely.
And y'all just jump in whenever you're ready. Sure. I'm going to do this recipe. Mm-hmm. And by the way, y'all, I did load up for those of you who do not have the microwave yet, because I know you're going to get it. I put my pepper-laced pork roast recipe on the website today, a highly seasoned peppered pork roast, and I'm using a pork butt. I'm using a 5 to 6 pound butt, and it's excellent in the Cajun microwave. In fact, when I have friends come in, and normally I don't do a whole pig unless it's a major event with a lot of folks, I'll just put one or two Boston butts in there and just let them go. It's going to be just absolutely beautiful. Well, according to Al and Ron, the recipe for cochon de lait, the suckling pig in their Cajun microwave, begins with a butcher cleaning and dressing a young pig ranging anywhere from 35 pounds. And a 35 to 40 pound pig will easily serve that many people, 30, 40 people. By the time you take the hams and slice them, the tenderloins off, the loin off of them, the front pig necks, I mean, there's a lot of meat on that. Up to a 100-pound pig, which, of course, will serve about 75 to 80, so or more, because there's always good side dishes, right? There's a lot of great side dishes. Make sure that it's cleaned very well and the head and the feet are removed, because it'll fit perfectly into the large microwave. Then butterfly, which means you just have the butcher cut the backbone open so that it'll lay nice and flat inside of the microwave. Before going in, as Alvin said so wonderfully a minute ago, you're going to rub it inside and out with a good coating of Cajun seasoning. Some of our Creole seasonings are absolutely wonderful. There's a lot of them out there. Or your own combination of salt and red pepper and black pepper and garlic salt and onion powder and all the wonderful things that you might want to concoct for yourself. On the meat and the skin side, make a couple good slits around the hand and the picnic shoulders and the loins, and just stuff them unbelievably full of fresh garlic. Right, Alvin?
That's right.
The more the merrier, right?
Yeah, the garlic really adds a lot of flavor.
So just pound it in there. And that's and I was mentioning the salt, pepper, red pepper, garlic powder combinations. That's pretty much you're rubbing in, right?
That's pretty much what we use.
Okay, good. Now you're going to place the pig skin side up. To start, you're going to start in that order to get the skin kind of cooking and let the fat from the pig start to drip out very early. You're going to light the fire. Now, this is very interesting. You're going to use about 15 to 20 pounds of coal, 2 10-pound bags of charcoal, let's say, and you're going to make two piles, a pile on one side, a pile on the other side, because you want to be careful not to create too much heat immediately by having this huge fire on top of the pig. You want to kind of warm the inside of the cavity of that unit to a point where it gets to a maximum, you want to say, of about 225 to 275. Once you get over 275, you're probably going to create enough heat to char the inside of the box. You're not going to blaze it on fire, but you don't want to burn the inside of your box either when you get over 275. And remember, y'all, this is long, slow cooking. This is a Cajun microwave. We take time in our cooking. It's not a fast and furious heat. So 225 to 275 is perfect. So you light the fire. And then it's going to take about 4 to 6 hours for that large pig. You want to check the pig about every 45 minutes, turning approximately every hour and a half or so. You might even want to pour a can of beer on the skin, right, to crackle it a little bit around.
And I use a easy thing to remember, 2-3-2. I only turn the pig twice now. I start off 2 hours with the skin side up, then I turn it over and let the underside cook for 3 hours. That's when a lot of your real cooking takes place.
That's your most intense heat.
Most intense.
As well.
Then the last hour, hour and a half, if it's a big pig, the last 2 hours on the skin, back again on the skin side up. And right, 30 or 45 minutes before, you can pour a can of beer on that skin, and that'll help it kind of crackle
up. It'll help. Crack. And remember, y'all, when you turn the bone side up to that broiler plate that's sitting up on the top with the hot coals, the bony structure of the pig carries that heat through the meat, through the tenderloins, right, through the loins, through the ham, the bones of the big hams and the picnic shoulders on the front. Those bones become part of the cooking elements as well inside the box. So you're actually doing the majority of your cooking during that 3 hours right there, and I see that great picture.
And it'll get real dark.
Oh, yeah.
Almost to where it almost looks black, but it's a dark brown, and that's when you really know.
Well, you're getting that good caramelization.
And let me tell you how you really know when it's cooked. The last time after the fourth hour or whatever, when you go to turn it the last time to the skin side up, when you pick it up, it'll just start ripping right down the backbone. And that's when you know it's cooking. And that makes it easier to cut up anyway if it's half of the time.
Well, and I also like the fact that once you turn it over the last time with the skin side up, that heat will now start to really cook that skin and brown that skin and crisp it. And that's called a gratin, the crackling of the pig. And to put that cold beer, just kind of take the bottle or the can and shake it a little bit and kind of squirt the beer over the top of that skin, it's going to immediately start to blister and crack. And that's where you get that really wonderful crackling flavor and that look. And then, of course, y'all, a couple of things. Remember, as the pig cooks over that 6 hours, ash will develop under the coals. Ash is an unbelievable insulator, so you want to make sure that you have your little shovel with you that comes with the pit, or you can buy it at a local store, and you just kind of shovel the ash off and keep the hot coals next to the iron. That's the most important thing. And I think the greatest lesson I got today on a Cajun microwave was when Alvin said, when you take the pig out, just leave the foil down there, clean the grate, and let the grease solidify on that foil for a day. Just wrap it up and throw it in the garbage can, and you have a clean microwave. Remember, y'all, the website, crawfishguide.com. I want to thank y'all so much for being with us today.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to thank you also for bringing this great gift of this microwave. When are we going to use it, Michelle?
Well, how about today?
Well, you go get the coals. I got the hog. Y'all, I want to thank you so much for being a part of Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate all of our wonderful listeners who every single day meet us somewhere along the highway and tell us how much they enjoy listening to the show. So we thank you for that. I also want to thank Dr. James again for letting us know about the Amberjack and the Jack family with the Pompano. It's great guys like that who keep us on track and make sure we're putting out good, solid information. If you're looking to really stand out at your next tailgating party, regardless of what school you're a fan of, mm-hmm, go to crawfishguide.com and get your Cajun microwave. There's three different sizes. You can have the small one. You can have the large one. It just depends how many friends you have. that determines. So, y'all, jfalls.com. The show streams all week long, doesn't it, Joe?
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
And our facts and figures.
That's right.
It's all available right there, so you can get all the information about the Cajun microwave on our website as well. So, anyway, y'all, facebook.com, stirring it up, one word, stirring, S-T-I-R-R-I, in it up radio. Of course, just go ahead and chat with us a little bit. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Hey, recipes you want to hear about, chills you'd like us to talk about, experiences you want to hear about, we're all about it. So anyway, so nice. I want to mention that because it's so nice that people correspond.
You can re-listen to the show in case you miss us during the week.
And if you miss us during the week, which I'm sure most people do, and I'm sure a lot of people just bring headsets to bed at night and just listen to us the whole time. And by the way, y'all, I do have my Pepper Lay's pork rolls, which you can cook in the oven. You can cook it on your pit or in your new Cajun microwave. It's right there as well on jpauls.com. Have a good, safe week, y'all, and go team.